AM 1420, WASR Wolfboro, W246DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distant Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hossick.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hossack, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, I asked how you're doing, but you don't have a microphone next to you, so I'm assuming that... Are you participating in the show today, or are we just going to watch?
Yeah, that's great. Yes, I had no microphone in front of me, and I forgot to tell Eric I'm on mic 4, but he figured that out. So we are attempting to get Facebook Live going. We're using Eric's hotspot this week. Last week we used mine, and we got the video, but we didn't get any sound. So we're trying to see if it's working.
We're having some Wi-Fi issues at the radio station.
Yeah,
as far
definitely.
As, we're asking a lot of them. We got both our computers.
Yeah.
Somebody's on.
Well, that's good.
I mean, if somebody's on, I wish they could tell us that they could hear us, too. Because we really want, we have a segment of people that like to listen to Facebook
Live.
We
do. People like Facebook Live, and then we also use that for Wolfboro Community TV.
Right.
So we're trying to get it figured out, and we'll see what happens. So Eric is hopefully going to be our savior today with his hotspot.
Hopefully.
But to answer your question, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day. We're getting closer to the end of the school year. Once again, you know, I say it every week, but Eric's forecasts are just amazing. Always correct.
They are.
Had a nice, right, you know, on. Just a little work-related stuff today. We had a nice little send-off today for a longtime teacher at Ospey Central School. She's been there 32 years, and it was really nice to be able to celebrate as a school with her. So if you're listening, congratulations to Mrs. Trish Ford. You're going to be missed at Ospey Central School, and we wish you the best in retirement.
Well, congratulations, Ms. Ford.
Yeah, so just an amazing woman. So,
yeah, we're.
How are you? Like, what's going on in your life?
School's hectic right now. Just end of the year stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get it all together.
Yep.
Kids are ready for summer vacation.
Right.
I think that's the polite way to say that. You know, things are hectic.
Absolutely.
At school. The kids are ready for summer vacation. I think the teachers are too. But it's also the fun time of year.
Right.
Where you really know them. You know, it's there's a lot of bantering. It's
right.
It's definitely my favorite time with the kids at this point. And wrapping things up, you know, a lot of end of the year activities, some games here and there, and
right.
You know, memory minutes, and you know, things
yeah,
like
good
that.
Good stuff like that.
And
yeah.
Then you know, then we get to look back and how far they've come in 9 months. And you and I have talked off the air about this a lot. Is that the group that has gone through school over the last 15 months?
Mm-hmm.
Have gone through like nothing else everybody has ever gone through before.
That's right.
You know, as far as the pandemic and being in school, out of school, you know,
yeah.
online,
yep.
not knowing
2 days
you're
a week,
go,
4 days
a week,
whatever.
I mean,
yeah.
And they've come out the other side.
Definitely.
And, you know, we just got notification that masks are optional.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we just saw Superintendent of Schools just sent that out that the New Hampshire DHHS has released new guidelines that masks are optional.
Yep.
Our superintendent was given the power by the school board, and she has made the decision to make them optional starting tomorrow. So
I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. We did this activity where we took pictures of the bottom half of the kids' faces.
Yes.
And we tried to identify, and the kids did pretty well. I did it for the first time today.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun. I did it with one of the classes, and I didn't do very well.
No.
They've been behind their mask all year long. And so it's going to be interesting tomorrow going in there, and I know we only have 4 days of school left.
Right.
Just to see them without their masks on.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, obviously, a little different for you because you're in middle school, so you don't have as much recess. Where I have in elementary school, we have recess every day,
right.
And it was just so amazing when they were able to finally take, you know, masks were optional outside, and just to see the kids' faces, and they saw mine, and like, you know, I have a little scruff here and there, and they're like, we didn't realize you had a beard, you know, just kind of funny things like that because we're always covered up.
It's good. It's going to be good. I'm glad it happened before the end of the year so we can actually see the kids. Whoops. And, they could see us smile, that we actually do smile.
Right, we do.
And we could see them smile. That's probably been the most challenging thing, especially at a middle school where, you know, you're trying to reach the kids and, you know, you joke around a little bit here and there.
Some body language
and all that.
Sarcasm
and stuff like that. and they couldn't get it because they're trying to read your eyes and if you're kidding with them or are you serious right now. So it's been certainly interesting. All right, Mike.
We got a little update here that the audio is poor on Facebook.
Okay, so we're going to work on that. So it might be our little gadget.
Yeah, it may be our gadget.
Well, let me read this. See if you can, I don't know, go turn something up.
You want me to go do something?
Sure, go something.
I'm going to go do something.
Mike and the Hoss is powered by the Yum Yum Shop located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro and can be found on WASR 97.1 FM at 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Hoss or WASR to receive $5 off a gingy box. You can always join our conversation, 569-569-5253. Did you do something?
Well, I did. So I have to put a disclaimer out right now. So we're going to try. Eric suggested that we try to do the volume just off of the iPad, which means that we have to be really careful during breaks about what we say to each other.
Okay.
So we need to be really appropriate to one another.
So you pulled off.
So right now, yeah. So Eric said, hey, why don't we try just going off the sound of the actual iPad. So if anybody is out there listening that would like to communicate with me, how does it sound now just based on the iPad's picking up sound? Okay.
And I'll try and play with that gadget a little bit if we get a break. We're going to have a break. All right. Let's do some opening. Well, let's set up the show. We have a couple things happening today. Aaron House, the Kingswood Athletic Director, is going to be joining us at 4:15 or after the break of 4:15 to recap the high school season. And he's got something special to talk about, too, something that's he's been working on for a little while now, and he wants to share it with the public. So pretty excited to hear about that. We're also going to talk tennis today.
I know. And this is so exciting because you brought this up a few weeks ago about tennis, and I know that you played a little tennis. And I used to play a little tennis, and tennis is just a great sport. And then we decided to kind of create this Mount Rushmore, you know, it's kind of our thing, of male tennis players this week, and we'll do female in the future. But it was just kind of cool going through this and doing research, and it kind of, I was almost like a walk through my childhood. Because I've always been a fan of tennis, and it was just fun looking at the different players throughout the years.
I mean, full disclosure, I haven't watched much tennis probably the last 20 years, give or take. When I was younger, I was watching a lot more when it was McEnroe and Connors and Borg and you know those guys. I certainly have gotten away from it as the more dominant players have taken over the sport because the sport has been dominated by very few players over the last 25 years. But it's it's still good. There's some characters that we're going to talk about, and I'm looking forward to that. You want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. Right. Well, it's kind of funny. You're like, want to go first? Because since the internet's not working here, I don't even know what your opening take is.
Awesome.
Because it didn't open. I didn't update. So,
I like the mystery. I'm gonna go look at our iPad while you're
talking. Yeah, you do that. So just my take is just kind of, I think in the world of youth and high school sports, parents have too much power. And part of this actually kind of pertains to this week where I heard some stories about some parents that are trying to influence coaches, are trying to, coach their kids from the sidelines, are trying to make sure kids get extra play time or are sharing opinions about other players. And I just I'm tired of it. I'm tired of parents kind of taking the position that, they're going to do and say whatever they want, and if they don't get what they want, they take it to the next level. So as far as youth sports, I guess, if you don't get what you want from the coach, you might try the other coach, and if you don't get what you want from those coaches, you might go to the, board of, whatever the sport is, baseball, softball, lacrosse, and if you don't like that, you go to the president of that board or whatever. But just we're in a situation now where I think parents have too much power, and it's actually tainting the sporting world of youth and high school sports. And I just kind of, Mike, I've reached my frustration level because I think a lot of the powers that be within these organizations, and I guess we could be critical of ourselves, although we haven't had to deal with it this year because we're on the board of Kingswood Cal Ripken, that a lot of the boards are siding with parents over coaches, which really frustrates me because if a parent feels so strongly about, you know, their child and the child's playtime and, you know, how the coach is going to coach, they themselves should volunteer or apply to become a coach. And the frustration continues to build because these parents, all they want to do is complain. And it frustrates me because if you complain, eventually they end up getting what they want. And that needs to stop. And I'm not talking necessarily specific to our area. I'm just talking in general, all around the country. And you see stories about this all of the time. One of the things we had talked about on our show is how nobody wants to officiate. Why would you want to officiate a sport when all you're going to end up doing is getting beat up, yelled at, sometimes sworn at? And we've seen videos of officials actually being physically assaulted. So the culture of youth sports and high school sports needs to change. And I put the blame on professional sports. And we're seeing that. And I'm blaming, let's use NBA basketball for an example. We talked a lot about how these players get to kind of pick and choose their own teams, who they want to be with. And I think a lot of that has to do is that the NBA has given the players the power instead of allowing the coaches to have the power, the ownership to have the power. It's not about giving the power to the players. It should be giving the power to the team, and it should always be team first and focused on that. Your thoughts?
Sorry, I was just writing down.
No, that's fine. You're all good.
I know we're running. If the audio is still not working, guys, WASR.net.
Yeah.
Or 97.1 FM.
Sure.
And 1420 AM.
Yeah. You know, WASR.net always works great.
Right. You know, Charlie, my stance on this is we've talked about this before, and I couldn't agree with more. I think a lot of this is the AAU model that there are so many options to play. I forget who it was, but we were talking about baseball, and 10 years ago or so, there was two AAU organizations in Maine.
Yep.
Now there's like 50.
Right.
And so if you're not happy with one organization, you just go to the next organization.
That's right.
And you go to the next organization. You go to the next organization. And, you know, we know players that have done that have just kind of hopped organization. They, you know, bitch and moan about the coach, and then they move on to the next one.
Right.
But we see it also in teaching, too. I mean, this is not just isolated to sports. We see it in teaching, where I have seen just a continuous degrading of believing the teacher over the student. And where when I was growing up, when you were growing up, if you came home and the teacher called home.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
That was a phone call you did not want to have.
No.
And usually that meant, I mean, you couldn't take away our phones then, but there was some sort of a grounding that was associated.
Sure. Yep.
There was probably some yelling that was going to happen.
Right.
It was not a phone call that you wanted to come. Now the phone call comes home and there's an argument.
Yes.
You know, about it. It's like, and I'm not, this is just putting a general umbrella over the whole thing. Same thing with sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joey's not hustling in practice. Well, you're not motivating him enough.
Right.
You know, I mean, and that's the, you know, it's everything. Coaching is not the same as it was before. Coach Skelly gave me a hard time the other day. He says, I haven't coached that long. Well, I've, you know, 27 years, I've coached at least two sports, often three sports.
Sure.
And so I've got a lot of teams under my belt. And so I can, you know, honestly say, and I'm not saying that's the greatest thing in the world. I'm just saying, the treatment of a coach from 27 years ago compared to the way it is now is significantly different.
Absolutely.
And yep. And parents are, whatever Johnny comes home and says to parents, that's what happened.
Yeah, they believe it. Yep.
And they're gonna, it is the Take coach's it fault, it's the assistant yep. coach's fault, it's the athletic director's fault, it's the principal's fault, it's the teacher's fault, yep. whatever. It's not Johnny's fault. Johnny's perfect. Johnny doesn't make any mistakes.
Right.
It is on that. And so there's a problem. It is a real problem in society, and I'm not sure I see this turning around.
No.
And I think it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And what's going to happen is that people are not going to want to coach.
Right.
They're not going to want to ref. You know, we have Aaron House coming on, and one of my favorite things that he does is that before every game says, you know, let the coaches coach, players play, referee.
Yep.
And if you want to be a referee,
yeah.
here's the information to go get your referee degree.
Go do it, yeah.
Because we've seen baseball is having a real, real tough time finding umpires. I mean, to a point where we have single umpires in games doing it behind the mound.
Right.
Cal Ripken has kids doing the games because nobody wants to go an umpire. And the reason why is not the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the coaches. It's the parents. And there's a problem in society with this, and I don't see it getting any better. I mean, how many times do you turn on Instagram now and there's something about some parent attacking a referee or a coach.
Yeah, all the time. We're seeing that.
It's ridiculous. Law and Order has a friggin' episode about it.
It's running rampant.
It really is something. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have to table my take. When we come back, we're going to have Mr. Aaron House, the Kingswood Athletic Director.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. COVID got you looking a little sloppy, need a little trim, need a little haircut. Why don't you look for a new family stylist? We recommend Water's Edge Salon in beautiful Back Bay. Owner Sarah Morgan has been a hairstylist in our community for 15 years. Sarah is accompanied by Paige Moore, another experienced stylist. Water's Edge is open Monday through Saturday. Call Sarah and Company at Water's Edge Salon at 515-1070.
Or get the number at watersedgesalonnh.com.
Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or DuranIndependentInsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you.
Hey, this is Mike and Charlie from Mike and the Hoss. If you're looking for a great night out, try the Full Belly Bar and Grill at Kingswood Country Club. The Bar and Grill is a delicious Friday night prime rib for $20, plus additional food and drink specials every night.
Hey, Mike, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro for some of the tastiest subs in town. You have to try the Full Belly Deli. Both restaurants offer delivery and takeout. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955.
And you can reach the Bar and Grill at 603-569-9869. And check out the 2021 Summer Concert Series on the Full Belly Bar and Grill Facebook page.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to. Sorry, I wasn't looking at you, Eric. I'm trying to look at the Facebook. So we should have Mr. Aaron House with us, the Kingswood Athletic Director, on the phone. Coach, you with us?
I'm here.
Awesome. And you're coming in loud and clear. Thanks for joining us. First of all, I want to congratulate you on a very successful Kingswood High School year. As far as athletics go, in what was probably the most challenging year that you've had to deal with as far as an athletic director.
Yeah, well, I mean, thanks for that. That's always nice to hear. And, you know, I wish I could take all the credit, but it was a team effort from, you know, parents being very supportive. Fall parents had to register their kids twice, you know, because we had to roll out the COVID protocols. And I think the kids were resilient. I think they all play great in all their sports. I think winter probably had it most difficult, right? Not, you know, having it pulled out from under them and then have it reinstated in January. So a late start for the winter kids. But again, they just great attitudes all the way around. And I can't say enough about the coaches who had to go above and beyond this year to try to deliver a great season for the kids.
All right. So, I mean, looking back at it, what do you think, what was to you the most challenging aspect of the whole year when, from an athletic director's point of view?
So I got to be honest, I mean, the COVID protocols weren't really the challenge for me. I mean, that was, we were one of the first schools to be ready to go with that and, you know, try to get the word out to the coaches on, you know, how we had to conduct business. I think the most challenging thing was trying to understand, you know, are our kids going to be prepared for these open tournaments? Because when you go to the local scheduling, you may not be seeing the same level of competition that you would in a regular season. So, you know, I was just always kind of in the back of my mind thinking, are our kids prepared? You know, in some sports they were, in others they weren't. And I'm hoping that everything goes back to normal this fall and we can kind of just get back to business as usual. But that was the biggest thing for me is just, you know, you try to give the kids a great experience. I think it's great that they're able to play sports, but ultimately, you know, it was just always something in the back of my mind was, are we going to be prepared for a postseason push?
Aaron, you actually, I want to touch on a few things that you said. Mike and I talked a little bit on the show that, you know, we talked about kind of the pros and cons of the local schedule, and we talked about the open tournament, and obviously we've talked quite a bit about COVID. But are there any things that you would want to kind of highlight that came from COVID that you'd like to say, hey, let's keep this in the future? And then what are your thoughts about keeping an open tournament for the future? And has, like, the NHIAA said anything about that?
Yeah, well, I'll just start there. I think that the open tournament was great. And I think if you polled athletic directors and school officials, it'd probably be split down the line. You know, there's a segment of folks out there who think, no, you know, there's got to be a line, you know, otherwise the first round games are blowouts or maybe not worthwhile. But for me, you know, I mean, we made some noise in the postseason, especially here in the spring, and what that did for our community I thought was huge. I mean, going to the baseball games and softball, boys lacrosse, girls lacrosse, I mean, this place was packed. There was excitement around the town. The kids, you know, were involved. They got to look at the season that they had, and then they knew going to the postseason that they're going to have a shot, you know, and how much noise they can make, that you never know that. So, you know, that's one of those things where I personally, if I was able to wave my magic wand and make it happen, I would love to see open tournaments. I think there's a way to do that where, you know, so you take your first four or six teams and you give them, you know, two rounds of byes, you know, and you let the other people kind of duke it out to try to get into those later rounds. But to me, it's about kids being able to play. It's about communities being able to be represented. So I'd be all for that. I'm not sure the NHIA has made a statement, an official statement on that yet. You know, I have a feeling that they'll probably go back to the way it was. But I hope they at least bring it up in conversation to talk about the pros and cons of possibly, you know, looking at an open tournament. You know, and I also think that, you know, when you're talking about those open tournaments, you got to go beyond just the winning and losing. You know, it's like I said before, it's about communities, and it gives people hope. It gives people that one more game to come out for, and maybe you win and maybe you don't. But to me, if the kids are playing, it's, you know, it's a good day.
We agree, and I also think it's so much healthier for the programs. The kids knowing that they're going to participate, they have a chance, like you said, of the playoff, to have that excitement. You know, we've seen the football team struggle. We saw the hockey team struggle this year. But being able to go into those playoffs, and, you know, speaking of the hockey team, we almost knocked off the eventual champion because we had a chance. So I think it's just healthier for the program. But, Aaron, I wanted to ask you about the regional schedule. Do you see anything? We talked last week about rivalries and how important rivalries are in high school sports, and usually those rivalries are brought up by regions. Do you see us keeping any aspects of those regional schedules?
You know, I would love to. I'd be in favor of that, but I've got the schedule sitting in front of me for next year already, and you know what's happening there is, you know, we're going to go back to what our original schedules were for this year, for next school year, and we're at the beginning of a two-year cycle. So, you know, the schedule we play this fall, winter, and spring, well, you know, you're going to have those same opponents 2 years from now. But I do think that gives us time as athletic administrators to talk with our divisional presidents, to talk with the NHIA, and really start asking questions about, you know, what makes sense. Because I'm with you. I mean, there's something to be said about when prospect fans, you know, come on our campus and we go down there, or Laconia. I mean, obviously Kennett's a huge rival still, and they'll forever be in our division, except for hockey, but that's a conversation for another time. So I think that, you know, the regional schedule I thought was fantastic. It obviously saved money, you know, on, you know, transportation costs, things like that. You know, it's just one of those things where right now, the way the State Athletic Association views things is divisions based on enrollment. And I do think they should go a little deeper than enrollment and possibly look at winning percentage, total student population that actually plays sports, because you could have a school of 1,000 kids, but maybe only 100 kids play sports. But, you know, ultimately then you are put in that division where other 1,000 people's schools are playing, if that makes sense. So, you know, I do think that other states do things a little differently. And I think what I will say about the NHIA and Jeff Collins is he's always willing to listen. He's always willing to listen to ideas. And I think if this school year has taught us anything, it's about patience and, you know, listening to someone else's point of view and trying to figure out what is the best thing for New Hampshire sports.
Great. Aaron, one of the things, I'm hoping you can help, actually, Mike and I understand this. One of the things that we've complained about significantly on this show is taking a look at some private schools. So let's use St. Thomas or Bishop Gertner or some of those schools as an example. And the fact that they have the ability to select their student athletes from essentially wherever they want. Can you kind of educate us a little bit maybe on the history of how they were allowed to be in the NHIAA, and then, for example, let's stick with St. Thomas, Aaron, and they're, you know, competing Division II. What I thought might be fair is a team that's allowed to do that and kind of, you know, recruit, for lack of a better term, players, they should at least at a minimum play Division I schools.
Yeah, I think that would be worth exploring, Charlie, making them, you know, making those schools have to play up. You know, I've had my own idea that maybe come tournament time, all those private schools get broken off into their own division. So you certainly can play public schools during the regular season and vice versa. But come tournament time, you've got a private school division and then you've got a public school division. I've got a little bit of history on this. When I first got hired at Stevens High School, which would have been 9 years ago, I learned that the Stevens field hockey team had just lost a championship game in field hockey to Derry Field. And yep. It's not that they just lost the championship game. They lost on corners. So for those folks out there that, you know, may not understand what that means that these girls, the best of what Claremont Public Schools had to offer based on zip codes in their school districts, those girls went toe-to-toe with Derry Field, a school that, for lack of a better word, can choose, or I hate to use the word recruit because they're not supposed to be
but we know they do.
Anyways, right, these schools, you know, Stevens goes toe-to-toe with Derry Field for regular, you know, regulation time, then they go through overtime, right? So they've taken the best team in the state right to the end, and then they lose on corners. Mm-hmm. Which basically is like penalty shots in hockey, right? So
right.
I just, that type of story, I think that story needs to be told. I think that the NHIA needs to look at it. I don't know the history, Charlie, when those schools were allowed to come
sure.
in.
Yep.
You know, that is a good question. But again, something that probably needs to be looked at. And, you know, I've heard stories about our own kids being approached by those schools. And,
yep.
and it's hard. You know, it's hard enough when you have Brewster across the street. And, you know, Brewster's a great athletic school, and if kids want to go there, then they should, you know. But when you have, your schools in your own division that are supposed to be playing by the same rules that they may not be,
right.
then I think we got to look at that. Yeah.
I agree. Aaron, before we go, you want to share something. You have something brewing that I know we've talked about a little bit and you've been working on. Do you want to tell us what's happening with that?
Yeah. So, you know, we're obviously – pushing through the end of the school year, and something that is long overdue here at Kingswood is a athletic hall of fame. And we've had some great people work with me over the winter months to help me put bylaws together. Those bylaws are, you know, essentially finished, and we're now moving towards a committee, and that committee will start accepting nominations for you know, Kingswood legends, folks that deserve their place in this Athletic Hall of Fame. So anyone and everyone that's listening, you know, if you know someone that is deserving to get into this Hall of Fame, we'll have stuff on the website probably in another couple weeks that will allow you to nominate those folks in an application process. And then the committee will sit down and start selecting folks to go into this thing. We'll start small. You know, we want to make sure we're getting it done and recognizing people. I would love to see this event grow into a nice formal dinner where people are being honored, you know, on a night out. But right now, my primary objective is to get people nominated and get them recognized on campus in an athletic hall of fame. And what we're trying to do, again, I'll sit down with the committee, but we're thinking that we want to create that area outside Alumni Field as a Hall of Fame garden. So you take that idea of what we have out there with Coach Lovett on that nice granite plaque out there, and just replicating that as folks get entered into the Hall of Fame. And even going a little deeper by investing in, you know, some nice perennial plants out there. So it's just a nice place to be on a game day. And in between the action, you know, people could take in folks that deserve to be in that thing.
That sounds great, Aaron. I was going to ask you, how are you going to represent this? What is it going to be, a physical structure? But you just answered that you're thinking about the garden and adding to Coach Lovett's place. So that sounds great, Aaron. We're looking forward to sharing in that.
You know, absolutely.
Maybe Mike and the Hoss can talk about those things as they come up, and it'll be great for us to promote that too.
Aaron, Aaron, I just wanted to say thanks so much for joining us today on the show, and I wanted to make sure you have a good rest of the year, but also have a nice Father's Day weekend.
Hey, you guys do the same. It's a special day, and I've already got something picked out at Lowe's, so I'm ready.
There you go. You are ready. All right.
Thanks, Aaron. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
All right. We will be right back, and you know what time is going to be?
Trivia time by the Full Belly Deli.
All right. We'll be right back.
Lucas Roasting Company, which is located on King Street in beautiful Back Bay, Wolfboro. They serve delicious coffee, tea, espresso, and lattes. And you know what, Mike? They were voted the best coffee in New Hampshire by WMUR. They even roast their own coffee inside their cafe. Lucas Roasting offers over 40 different single origins and blends of coffee to choose from. My favorite is the Italian roast. It's really dark and has great, great flavor. After 13 years in the coffee industry, Lucas Roasting Company can handle personal and large business orders. Stop by their cafe on King Street in Wolfboro or order online to have delicious coffee shipped right to your door. The cafe is open Wednesday and Thursday, 7 to 5, and Friday and Saturday, 7 to 3, or go ahead and visit lucasroasting.com anytime.
And please make sure to tell them that Mike and the Hoss sent you. Need a chainsaw, some paint, or even a grill? Don't head down to the big box store. Stop at Bradley's Hardware in downtown Wolfboro. At Bradley's, you will find all of your hardware needs. Bradley's Hardware carries quality name brands such as Steel and Echo Power Equipment, Benjamin Moore Paints, Weber and Big Green Egg Grills, and just about anything else you could find in a hardware store. Bradley's also stocks an extensive inventory of rental equipment. Rent anything from a commercial carpet cleaner to a cement mixer. So before you head out of town, stop at Bradley's Hardware on 22 Railroad Ave in downtown Wolfboro. They are open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 7:30 to 5. Bradley's is your local hardware choice.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshot.com. Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss, 569-5253. And you're going to need that number because it is trivia time, brought to you by Full Belly Deli.
What do you win, Mike?
You win a $20 gift card to the Full Belly Deli. Love your question. I don't even know the answer. I have a guess, but you didn't put the answer on our sheet.
I didn't put the answer. It was funny because when I was doing the trivia question this week, which we will get to momentarily, I typically put the answer, and then I got sidetracked. I was, similar to you, very busy at school today, and I just thinking of trivia, and I was going to pop it in there and maybe write the answer later, and I forgot. But okay. I do know the answer.
Okay.
All right. So today's trivia question, sponsored by the Full Belly Deli, give us a call at 569-5253 or 569-LAKE. Who was the first MLB, that's Major League Baseball, player to have his number retired? Once again, who was the first MLB player to have his number retired? If you know the answer, 569-5253 or 569-LAKE.
I have a guess.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to guess.
I'm not going to share it.
No. It's not. I mean, I know what you're thinking. It's not David Ortiz. Were you thinking that?
I was thinking Mike Trout.
What a sad day that's going to be.
Did they retire his number yet?
They might as well.
I mean, how he communicates with the fans, I don't know.
I don't know anybody better than him. All over the fans. All right.
So we actually got a lot to do, so I don't want to waste any time by bantering here. Let's. You got some cool facts.
I do. I've got a few cool facts, and here's the first one, and I found this, and I bet Eric's going to get excited about this one. Because the Yankees, which we don't like the Yankees. You're not a Yankees fan, right?
No.
Okay, good. All right. The Yankees' original approach to assigning numbers to the player was based on their normal batting order. So if you hit first, you were number one. If you hit second, you were number two, and so forth. Four was a cleanup hitter, and that's how they did their numbering.
If you look at Yankee Stadium, all the retired numbers are like single digits.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I thought that was kind of cool to do, because obviously when you look at modern day baseball, you know, the numbers are all over the place, and it's certainly not based on batting order. I think it would have been interesting if instead of batting order, if they'd done it by position. You know, your third baseman's number five, so you just wear five.
What's the backup third baseman?
I don't know.
Five A.
All right. Other cool fact, and I think you knew this one. In 1990, Michael Jordan's game jersey was stolen when he visited the Orlando Magic, and MJ was forced to wear number 12 that night. So somebody actually broke into the visitor's locker room. I think it was an inside job.
Well, do you remember the story with Brady, that every time he won a Super Bowl, something was missing from...
Yes.
And remember somebody stole his jersey?
Right.
And stole his helmet one time, mm-hmm. too?
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't know, there's apparently not security in the locker room after a Super Bowl.
I guess not.
But this doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so MJ in 1990 had his jersey stolen, and he was forced to wear number 12. The boxing ring is called a ring because it used to be round. Spectators formed a circle around the fighters. If the fighters got too close, they gave them a shove or a kick to get back in the ring. I just think that's cool. And it takes me back to, like, my middle school days when, like, Joey and Billy would fight after school. And they'd be like, you know, meet you down to the playground at 3:30. And you go down there and Billy and Joey are fighting and you have that circle of kids, that's the ring. And if they got too close, you know, and you didn't like Joey, you gave him a little shove, get back in there.
Yep.
So that's kind of how original boxing was, and that's why we get the boxing ring.
Oh, it's that Clint Eastwood movie, who's a fighter, that, you know, bare knuckles fighter. Anything but loose, something like that?
Every which way but loose.
Every which way but loose, yeah. And there was a ring.
Yeah, it's a ring. Yeah, that's how they got the name, because, you know, you look at it now, and it's a square. Right.
Or an octagon.
Or an octagon if you're UFC,
right?
UFC,
yeah. Yep.
And this one, I know, I had the question here is, do you like push-ups? I can tell that you do a lot of push-ups. So the world record, this is crazy, by the way, the world record for consecutive push-ups is 10,507 by Minoru Yoshida from Japan. All right, you know, I could probably crank out 25, and then I'd need a break. But I could not crank out 10,507.
I got that. 10,507. It's just, the difference is it'll take me 2 years.
I was going to say, but this is serious. This is consecutive. How sick is that?
It's when I was younger, I used to have a Guinness Book of World Records book. You know, we all had those things.
I love that.
And you know, he's tallest man, heaviest man. You know, all this kind of stuff. And one of them was push-ups and sit-ups, and it was two brothers. One brother had the push-up record.
Really?
And his younger brother had the sit-up record.
Wow.
And I remember, you know, looking at it, and it was in the thousands. These guys weren't that jacked, though.
No.
You know, kind of the same way that Joey Chestnut's not really fat.
Yeah, this guy, you know, this guy is small, too.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
It is.
That how that would be. You would think when you do 10,500, I mean, you'd be just jacked and just pumped up. No,
Yeah, you were probably looking at Guinness Book of World Records in the 70s, because this actually
yes,
this
so
just
it was the 70s.
No, but I'm saying that. But this record was 1980,
okay,
so record has been around
sooner,
for a while,
yeah.
Which surprises me because why wouldn't someone else go for it? Maybe they're trying to go for this record, so that means if it's been around since 1980, this is a tough record to beat.
That seems like a painful record to beat.
Oh yeah,
and I want to know on that 10,507th push-up.
Yeah.
Why? What was the difference? What was the difference between that and 10,508?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you go that long. Did he have? Was it dinner time? Was it time to go to bed? And how
did he need to use the bathroom?
How long did it take him?
I know. I don't know. That'd be a good thing to find out.
Are these military? Do you have to lock him out every time he went up, or was he able to do that?
Yeah, just like the real quick. Interesting. But, 10,507.
Always love your cool facts.
All right.
Before, want to hit the
trivia. Trivia once again, time? Trivia question is, who was the first Major League Baseball player to have his number retired? That's the first MLB player to have his number retired. 569-5253 or 569-LAKE. You're listening to Mike and the Hoss on WASR.
And that is... for a $20 gift card to Full Belly Deli.
Yes.
And I also mentioned Full Belly Bar and Grill this Saturday night. C4 is coming to play on their outside patio, and that's from 7 to 10. Food spectacular. We talked about that in our last show. You and I both had meals over there.
It's incredible.
I had a lunch there yesterday. I grabbed lunch there yesterday, and spectacular. It's always great.
It's always good, great. Always good food.
Dougie Lamparter does an awesome job there.
And the band is going to be out on the patio, so for those that don't want to be inside, you don't have to be. You can sit out on the patio, have a few drinks,
C4,
eat some delicious
7 to
food.
10. Yeah. That's not – I'm sorry, not tomorrow, Saturday.
Saturday. It's Saturday,
Saturday
Mike.
Night. Yeah. Saturday.
So it's Father's Day Eve.
We used to be on Friday, so I was
– bam, back in the day.
We're back
like
on
3
Thursdays.
Weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Hey, you know what about these Red Sox –
What about the other day we were talking about is this the beginning of the end?
I'm starting to be a believer.
Yeah.
I'm starting to believe a believer. It's just amazing how the runs have exploded ever since Major League Baseball's, cracked down on the sticky stuff. But my opening take was about just in general cheating, and I'm going to save it for another time.
Okay.
The Red Sox are only one game back.
They are.
They have closed the gap a little bit.
They've closed the gap. The Rays have slipped a little.
There's an it factor with this team. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're a great team. I think they're all having career years.
Right.
And they're very timely hitting. They won both games the last two nights 10-8.
Yeah.
Both games were kind of come from behind.
Yep.
Both games the pitching really wasn't there. But, hey, they're doing it. Nathan Eovaldi did show up and beat Toronto on Monday.
They played, that great was a great game. That was 2-1.
Speaking of that game, holy mackerel. Vladimir Guerrero
hit
a ball almost a mile.
Oh, yeah.
it was unbelievable.
Massive.
That guy's a stud.
He is.
He was against the closer for the Red Sox, and I tweeted, I said, I don't know if he's going to survive that because that was just an absolute bomb.
It was.
One of those that nobody moved in the field.
Yep.
Nobody moved.
And if you know, I mean, I'm sure you've noticed this, but Vlad Guerrero Jr., he is really, when he was in the minors, he was a little more on the heavy side.
Yeah.
And he has taken this seriously. He lives in the weight room. He's, working out. He's a beast. He's like one big giant muscle.
That home run, I thought, could have been a season killer.
Yeah.
I really did because the Red Sox were coming off of two bad losses to Toronto. They had to salvage this game on Monday. Eovaldi pitched phenomenal. The bullpen pitched phenomenal.
Yep.
I don't know why I can't think of his name, the closer.
Barnes.
Thank you. Matt Barnes pitched great the first two batters. They couldn't touch him.
Right.
Hung a curveball, and that was it. I really thought that was kind of a season killer. But the Red Sox came back that inning. Got a couple guys on.
They rallied,
And it was Devers hit one off the wall. Mm-hmm. They seem to have that little bit of an it factor. And so they won on Tuesday in Atlanta, 10-8. Timely hitting. Mm-hmm. Jumped out in front soon. Pitching still wasn't there. Erod, I think you got to worry about him. Mm-hmm. They won last night.
Yeah, Christian Arroyo with a grand slam.
Bomb.
Yeah, 467 feet.
Yeah, bomb. I loved his little dance. I think it was around third base or something like that. Baseball seems to be loosening up a little bit, so it's fun to see. I'm starting to be a believer.
Yeah.
I really am. And sometimes, back in 2013, we talked about that. That was the marathon bombings and whatever combination that team had, the it factor. Now, they had Ortiz. Mm-hmm. They didn't really have Betts. Betts wasn't Betts then.
No.
They didn't have Bogarts. Bogarts wasn't Bogarts. They just had a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
But they had
came
that
together.
They had that it factor. Mm-hmm. And this team's starting, and I'm going to regret this, they're going to lose the next seven games, but I'm starting to be a believer in this team.
Speaking of the next seven games, they've got I have it right here. So they're going to be playing Kansas City tomorrow, but after they got three games with KC, then They've got three games with the Rays and three games with the Yankees. So if we're gonna look at, you know, the next nine games, these are huge for the Red Sox. So they have the opportunity to continue to, you know, increase their lead over the Yankees and maybe even move back into first place.
The Rays might have lost their ace.
I saw that.
Yeah. Ulnar, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
He's got inflammation in the elbow.
Yeah.
And that's
he'll be out.
Sometimes that's a kiss of death for a pitcher.
That's true.
I mean, that's the first step before we've seen it happen. Tommy John surgery with Chris Sale, inflammation in the elbow.
Right.
John Lackey, inflammation in the elbow, and we've seen it many, many times. And
so isn't this the week where MLB is going to start to crack down?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have the security go out there and check everybody.
Yeah, and my take is on all that kind of stuff and.
We could talk about that next week.
I'll save it for next week.
Hey, before we take a break, I just wanted to, next week, you know who's going to be joining us on Thursday next week?
Josh Balding.
Yeah, Josh Balding's going to come
in. Mr. Olympics.
Mr. Olympics. He's going to come in studio and join us for all of our segments.
That's exciting. Yep. Looking forward to that. All right, Mike and Lawson, we'll be right back.
Carroll County Oil is independently owned and operated. Danny and Mike have been serving the Lakes region for over 20 years. Carroll County Oil offers prompt, courteous service with competitive rates. They offer automatic, will call, pre-buy, and budget programs designed to fit your needs. If your oil burner needs service, give Carroll County Oil a call, and they will contact a qualified technician 24 hours a day. At Carroll County Oil, you are a name, not a number. So, when your knees are knocking, fear no more, give Carroll County Oil a call, and they'll be at your door, 539-8332.
Hey, this is Mike and Charlie from Mike and the Hoss. If you're looking for a great night out, try the Full Belly Bar and Grill at Kingswood Country Club. The Bar and Grill is a delicious Friday night prime rib for $20, plus additional food and drink specials every night.
Hey Mike, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro for some of the tastiest subs in town. You have to try the Full Belly Deli. Both restaurants offer delivery and takeout. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955.
And you can reach the Bar and Grill at 603-569-9869. And check out the 2021 Summer Concert Series on the Full Belly Bar and Grill Facebook page. Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. If you're in the real estate market, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Faye brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Faye, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Faye. No one knows the local market better than Faye, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
If you're involved in an automobile accident and need your vehicle repaired by experts, call Weston Auto Body in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. Weston Auto Body is a family-run business, and they are the oldest auto body shop continuously operating in the United States. Weston Auto will work with your insurance company and the paperwork associated with your claim. Hey, Mike, did you know that Weston Auto does more than just body work? They do alignments, oil changes, brakes, exhaust systems, shocks, struts, state inspections, batteries, tires, and many other services. Give them a call at 603-569-4400, and don't forget to tell them that Mike and the Hoss sent you.
Welcome back, Mike and the Hoss, 569-5253, 569 Lake. All right. Last week, we tried to get our tennis segment in on Monday, and the reason for it was that Djokovic, I'm going to butcher his name every single time, Novak Djokovic.
Djokovic. How about Djokovic?
Okay.
No.
Won the French Open, which gave him 20 Grand Slam titles.
Okay.
And so questions came up about, and we don't, I mean, we've kicked around the tennis ball a little bit and, you know, hit it out of the tennis court, yeah. Stuff like that. I would not describe us as tennis players.
Definitely not. No.
But I think tennis has a certain popularity with a large segment of the world.
Right.
And I think it was worth discussing. So I started wondering, who is now the greatest tennis player ever? We've done the Mount Rushmore of other sports. And I think we talked a little bit about tennis players, but we never did the Mount Rushmore of tennis players. And so it looks like, man, if you go by Grand Slams, it's pretty clear cut who the top three are.
It is.
Because they're all tied.
Yeah.
So right now, Djokovic
Yep.
He has 20 Grand Slam titles now. Pretty significant. He has 83 career titles. Just won the French. Rafael Nadal, 20 Grand Slam titles.
Mm-hmm.
He has been around for probably 15 years.
Yeah, so Rafael Nadal has been around 2001. Yep.
Oh, wow. So 20 years.
Yeah, he's been around since 2001. Djokovic's been around since 2003.
Okay.
And then
Roger Federer.
Yeah.
Who I always thought was the number one guy. 103 career titles.
Yep.
20 Grand Slam titles. He's been around since 1998.
Yeah.
Been playing tennis for 23 years.
Which is crazy.
You had mentioned the other day that Borg retired when he was 23.
Yeah.
Six?
I mean, can we throw these around that I put
yes.
up here?
Yeah, put them up.
So Andre Agassi, he played from 1986 to 2006. He had 8 Grand Slams, and he was an Olympic gold medalist, and then he's in the Tennis Hall of Fame. We loved John McEnroe. John McEnroe played from 78 to 92. He had 7 Grand Slams. He is, of course, in the Hall of Fame. Jimmy Connors, because remember McEnroe and Connors would always, it was kind of a rivalry. It was almost like,
yep.
Larry Bird, Magic Johnson type thing. And he was around from 72 to 96. He has 8 Grand Slams. It's funny just saying 8 because these other guys have 20.
20.
He's in the Hall of Fame. Yvon Lendl, 8 Grand Slams. He played from 78 to 94. Then you have Bjorn Borg. He was interesting. We talked about this maybe off air the other day, mm-hmm. but Bjorn Borg has 11 Grand Slams. He's in the Tennis Hall of Fame, but he retired at age 26
right.
in the prime of his career.
Yep.
I mean, think about this. He played from 73 to 83. He only played for 10 years pro, and we're looking at all these other players.
He tried to come back. He tried to come back when he was in his 30s.
Yeah, but he kind of left. He left at the top of his game. Pete Sampras. And Pete Sampras has 14 Grand Slams. He's in the Tennis Hall of Fame. And then after that,
I think you got the years
wrong. I got the years wrong with Sampras. Yeah, he played a little more than 4 years. Yeah. But then we jump to the top three that you've already mentioned. Nadal, Federer, and what are we saying?
Djokovic.
Yeah. And all of those guys have 20 Grand Slams. So they're not – I mean, the closest one would be Pete Sampras. And everyone else is in, except for Bjorn Borg, is in single digits.
So, I mean, I was kind of marveling at the fact that Federer played for 23 years, but then I see Connors was professional for, upwards of 24 years.
That's what I'm getting
years.
At, that it seems like professional tennis players can play for extended periods of time.
I thought they bugged out, though, when they were, closed in on 30 years old.
You know what, here's the difference. I think this is the difference, Mike. I think even though they were playing professionally and in their later years, they're playing in a different it's similar to maybe golf, right? They're playing in the seniors level. Like John McEnroe in 1992 wasn't competing against the best tennis player in the world. There's a little different level. And I'm not sure of the name.
I don't know about that. I thought McEnroe was there at the end. I remember early 90s, I think a semifinal in the U.S. Open or something
that
like
that.
Yeah.
At that age?
Yeah. I think he did. Connors, remember, it was a U.S. Open when he was older. He was
I actually remember his last year.
37 or something like that. And it was all kinds of hype that he made it to the semifinals too. He had matches that lasted like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? That was kind of a buzz. So let me ask you, without looking at numbers,
right?
Who's Charlie's Mount Rushmore of tennis players? Who is the Haas? Is Mount Rushmore of tennis players without looking at numbers?
Yeah. So, and here's the thing that I can't necessarily give credit to the Djokovic or Nadal because, and I want to, but I haven't seen them play. I like you said earlier, I haven't watched I haven't sat down and watched tennis in quite a few years.
Who's your four?
So
who's your four?
My four. I think
without looking at numbers, this is the Mount Rushmore of tennis in Charlie's heart.
Okay, and so it's just a feeling.
Yeah, just a feeling.
Just a feeling.
Just a feeling. Who?
So
would you watch?
I would watch John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors definitely. So they've made my Mount Rushmore: McEnroe and Connors.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna go. I've watched Roger Federer play many times, so I would go with Roger Federer, and I would probably lean towards. I don't know. I just something about Bjorn Borg. I remember him. He was almost like a villain.
Okay.
Back in the day.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with those four. So once again, it's Borg on there, Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe, and Roger Federer.
Okay.
Who are you going with?
in my heart. In
yeah,
my heart.
We're just going with heart. Like, if I look at numbers, I can't argue with 20 grand slams.
Right. John McEnroe is number one.
Okay.
Just, I loved watching him play tennis. I thought he was so crafty. Wasn't the most athletic-looking guy in the world. He was just so crafty. And, yes, I enjoyed him.
The banter.
The banter with the referees and just the whining.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he was this rich, you know, he had this rich kid,
yeah.
you know, I grew up in the tennis club mentality, but he just was entertaining.
He was.
He was just entertaining. And so.
Plus, he had like a perm, his hair.
He did. And
he was almost like Bob Ross-esque.
Well, and he went at it with Borg, and they had some epic matches.
Yes, they did.
And I just, it was that American versus the Swede, and I just used to
yeah.
love McEnroe. So McEnroe's number one. Number two for me would be Federer.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because Federer did it without sweating. The guy yeah. the guy would have a 5-hour match in 110 yeah. degrees and
yeah.
wouldn't be a hair out of place. And there was no sweat on, just none. No, no sweat whatsoever. And yeah. he made it look so easy.
He did.
And so when he was, I mean, he's closing in on 40 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not already there, he might already be there. And to move around the court against 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds,
right.
it's just so smooth. And so number two is Federer. Number three for me is going to be Agassi.
Oh, Andre Agassi, yeah.
Yeah. That long hair.
Yeah.
You know.
He's kind of that bad boy.
And
yeah.
And it's funny, when he was balding,
yeah.
when he was balding and he still had the long hair, and I was like, yeah. come on, Andre, you got to figure this out.
Yeah.
And I'm one to talk. We both are
right,
one to talk.
Yeah, that's
but,
right.
Then he decided to go bald, and then he became that wily veteran.
Yes.
And so he was really easy to root for.
Yeah.
And then my last one would probably be Borg. I know he's saying, why am I missing Jimmy Connors? I felt that when Jimmy Connors got older, he got real obnoxious.
Yeah.
Real obnoxious. And, you know, he used to yell at the fans, what, I'm, you know, 35 years old. What do you expect me to do? And he just,
right.
he played it up and he just kind of used that as his thing. And I just, I don't know.
You were all set with that.
I was all set with that. I just, he kind of bugged me. And it came down to that semifinal that he made that run in the U.S. Open. And,
yeah.
you know, at first it was, yeah, this is awesome watching. And it was like, oh my God, you're obnoxious.
Right.
You know, what you're doing. And, it just threw me the wrong way. But if you go by numbers.
Oh, if you could just go by numbers alone.
If you go
alone,
by
yeah.
number, then it's Djokovic, Federer, Nadal.
And probably Sampras.
And probably Sampras. And I probably would have. I mean, Borg and Sampras. I mean, I kind of skipped over Sampras there, and I really shouldn't have, because the American, and he was really. He was so dominant, too. Those U.S. Open games, you know, titles that he took.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nobody could touch him with his serve at the time. He was pretty smooth. I'm taking Borg out there. I'm going back to Sampras.
Okay.
On that, I
can get rid of the Swede.
There's no rules in this.
No, you can do what you want.
So, but I would say, yeah, it would probably be Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, and Sampras at this point, just based on Grand Slams and titles. I don't know how you could, even though I love John McEnroe, I don't know how you can.
Right.
How he could be.
So that would be and that what you're saying now. That's the real Mount Rushmore.
That's the real
and then
Mount
you
Rushmore.
Have your own personal one. I have my own personal one.
Yeah, and I
which
just,
is yeah.
And I think tennis is I like to see the characters in tennis.
Yeah.
We saw so many robots that go out there in tennis. And Federer's a robot, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, he goes out there without any effort, he wins.
Yep.
But I'm with you. I haven't seen Djokovic play very much. I haven't seen Nadal play very much. I know that they're phenomenal. Kind of surprised me that Nadal had 20 grand slams. That's kind of snuck up on me, I feel.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of French Open titles in there. Remember Michael Chang?
Mm-hmm. I do remember.
French Open master.
Yeah.
He won like five or six French
yeah.
Open titles. He was awesome on the clay, but he couldn't get anything
couldn't
going
do anything
on the
else,
other ones.
Yeah.
And he was an American.
Yep.
Did he win a U.S. Open? I don't think he did.
I don't think he did.
I think he was just French Open stuff.
No.
We're going to have to do the girls, the ladies, as far as...
We definitely,
you know, that's going to be fun. Chris Everett, Martina Navratilova,
Serena Williams,
yeah,
Venus Williams, yeah,
Jennifer Capriati.
Fun. Oh yeah, there you go.
There's some names. So we have to do a little research on that. So we'll save that for another time.
Hey, so nobody got trivia this week. The trivia question was: who was the first Major League Baseball player to have his number retired?
Can I guess?
Do you want to take a guess? Yeah.
I'm going to say Honest Wagner.
No, it's actually someone that you're going to be like, oh, Lou Gehrig.
Okay,
he's the first baseball player to have his number retired.
So they obviously were not retiring. Numbers back in the early 1900s.
That's right. So Lou Gehrig, number four, because he batted fourth for the Yankees.
Of course.
Go figure. Yeah.
All right. Well, so, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I'll bet you my friend Parker knew that one, though.
I bet he did, too.
Yeah, I don't know if he's listening. We're struggling with the Facebook, folks. I don't know. We got to figure this out. Any techies out there that thinks they have, yeah, they know their Facebook.
Before we thank our sponsors, though, you can always go to WSAR.net and you can download the podcast later on, listen to it.
Spotify.
You can go to Spotify. You can listen to WSAR.net live, 97.1 FM and 1420 AM.
We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the MM Shop. Thanks to Faymore at Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Skelly's Market,
Water's Edge Salon,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Duran Independent Insurance,
Carroll County Oil,
Downtown Grill and Cafe,
Weston Auto Body,
Linda's Flowers,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
Full Belly Deli,
and the Full Belly Bar and Grill.
We'll be back on Monday.
Yep. All right. See you next week.
Bye-bye.